We are living in Babylon.
You might wonder, well, how can I say that? Well, the days of the week are named after Babylonian deities, some of them. The months are named after Babylonian deities. You have the Apollo space program, named after Greek and Roman and Babylonian deities. You have the Mercury space program, named after Babylonian and Greek deities. You have our holidays of the world that are patterned after the Babylonian system. Now, you remember in the book of Genesis, it talked about Babel. And the people at the time were going to make a tower. And the tower was going to be made out of fired brick. And it was going to be mortared with bitumen or with asphalt so that it would be waterproof. The people in the Tower of Babel at that time were telling God, you know, you destroyed our predecessors with a flood. We're not going to let you do that to us. We're going to make a tower we can climb in case you send water again that will be waterproof. And you know what happened? God wanted them to scatter and colonize the earth. They wouldn't. He gave them new languages, and they could not understand one or the other. And it was a babbling of confusion. They were babbling to each other. That's where Babylon came from. Let's go to the book of Daniel, and I want you to show you something. I opened up with the fact that we are living in Babylon. Let's look at Daniel. And in Daniel chapter 2, we're going to kind of skim the chapter real quickly. In Daniel chapter 2, we have the story of King Nebuchadnezzar. He was a Babylonian king, the ruler of Babylon. And he had a dream, and Daniel interpreted the dream for him, head of gold. And we can read about the head of gold in Daniel chapter 2, verse 32. It says, the image's head was of fine gold. Then you had the chest of silver, midsection of brass, legs of iron, feet of clay and iron. And it says here in, we keep reading down in the chapter, we go to verse 36. He says, this is a dream, all these different metals. Now we will tell the interpretation of it before the king. You, O king, are a king of kings, for the God of heaven has given you a kingdom, power, strength, and glory. And wherever the children of the men dwell, or the beasts of the field, etc., etc., you, and the last part of verse 38, are the head of gold. So Babylon, the Babylonian king, was head of gold. Now let me ask you a question about this image. This image is still alive and well today, because the image is destroyed when a stone is cut out from heaven without hands, and it hits the feet. And the feet represent the coming kingdom that's going to be classified as a beast power, the coming United States of Europe. And that kingdom has not begun to exist yet. So therefore, the feet of the kingdom don't exist. Therefore, when the feet come, the kingdom's still standing, and it will not be destroyed till Christ returns. This is the longest prophecy in the Bible, probably about 2,700 years long, depending on when Christ returns, you know, next year, 10 years, 30 years, whenever. So here we have an image, and God is telling King Nebuchadnezzar through Daniel, you're that head of gold. You're the Babylonian system. This image is still standing. So therefore, Babylon still exists. Reference the things I mentioned in my introduction, the days of the week, all the things that we do, the holidays we keep. We're getting ready to observe, not us, but society, one of the great religious festivals that Babylon has foisted on the world. And that is a modern day Saturnalia. I think yesterday or the day before was the winter solstice. And the days were getting shorter and the nights were getting longer. The ancients looked up, worshiped the sun, Mithra sun worship, and they came up with all kinds of things to do to keep the sun from disappearing. And we had the Saturnalia, which is a festival of the unconquered sun. We don't want the sun to be conquered. We want the sun to be unconquered so that the sun can come back and the days can be lengthened and the nights can be shortened. And so Christmas is a modern day version of the Saturnalia. If you're involved in Christmas, it's a time of joy, of honoring Christ. On December the 25th, which is a few days away, the world stops to pay homage to this world's Babylonian religion. And this world's Babylonian religion is based on Babylon. Today, what we're going to do in this sermonette is we're going to consider the fact that we are in Babylon, consider the fact that many people believe that Christmas is religious and holy to God, and we're going to answer the question, how does God want us to worship Him? How does God want us to worship Him? And we're going to go to a couple of scriptures in the Bible to look at that concept. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 12. Deuteronomy chapter 12. It gives us instructions in Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 29, about how we should be worshiping God. Deuto is double or twice, you know, duet. Batman and Robin, the dynamic duo. So Deuteronomy is a second giving of the law. And here in Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 29, we read the following. Let me get to Deuteronomy chapter 12, big book. Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 29. They were wandering in the wilderness. They had not come into the promised land. They were getting ready to go into the promised land. God, by various means, was going to drive the people out. There was going to be wars and battles and hornets and all kinds of things. And this is in Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 29. And God was telling them, when you come into the land, because you haven't come into the land yet, but when you come into the land, and God cuts off from before you the nations which you go to dispossess, and you displace them and dwell in their land, be careful, take heed to yourself, that you are not ensnared to follow them after they are destroyed from before you, and that you do not inquire after their God, saying, how did these nations serve their gods? I also will do likewise. The Christmas keepers understand that part of the Christmas is pagan, but they say it doesn't matter, because if your heart is right and you're doing it for the right reasons, God understands. God doesn't care that they're pagan. He looks on the heart. He looks on your attitude. So any kind of worship that is directed to God is okay. Well, here it's telling us something different. Notice verse 31. You shall not worship the Lord your God in that way. So if you worship the Lord your God, the true God, in the way that the people that were driven out of the land worshiped Him, the Bible says, do not worship God that way. For every abomination in the Lord, to the Lord, which He hates, they have done to their gods. For they burn even their sons and their daughters in the fire to their gods. Whatever, very important principle here, ladies and gentlemen, whatever I command you, be careful to observe it. You shall not add to it, nor take away from it. When God tells you to do something, I'm not talking about your wife telling you, the husband, or the parents telling the child, or the child telling the dog, or whatever. This is God telling you. So God has a prerogative to tell you what to do. Most people don't like being told what to do. But God can do that to us. It says, whatever I command you, be careful to observe it, and you shall not add to it, nor take away from it. Well, there's this holiday, there's this holy day coming up, and I think we should do it this way. What would happen if you told God, I understand the Passover is on the 14th day of the first month, but I have a better idea. I think we should have it on the 14th day of the fifth month. We're still going to be worshiping you. We're still going to be doing everything the way that you want. We're still going to be reading out of the book of John and Mark and all that. We're still, you know, the unleavened bread and everything, but we're just going to pick a different month. I mean, it doesn't matter, does it? After all, we're doing it to you. What would God say? He would not be pleased at all with that attitude, even though everything else was the same and the date was different. So what I want you to do and understand is we should not inquire about how other gods have been worshipped and then force that onto God and expect God to accept it, because He does not. Same chapter, verse 1. So chapter 12, verse 1. These are the statutes and the judgments which you shall be careful to observe in the land which the Lord your God of your fathers is giving you to possess all the days that you live on the earth. You shall utterly destroy all the places where the nations which you shall dispossess serve their gods, on the high mountains and on the hills and under every green tree, and you shall destroy their altars, break down their sacred pillars. And this is a PG sermon, so I'm not going to tell you what the sacred pillars were that were pointing to the sky, where the earth and the sky had intercourse so that things could be fertilized. sacred pillars and burn their wooden images with fire. You shall cut down the carved images of their gods and destroy their names from that place. You shall not worship the Lord your God with such things. Verse 5. But you shall seek the place where the Lord your God chooses out of all of your tribes to put his name. So God was going to eventually select the tribe of Levi. Put it in context. He's going to build a tabernacle or a temple there. And that's where you go to do your worship. Not wherever you want or whatever system you want to use. God had a prescribed way of doing things. Verse 6. There you shall take your burnt offerings, your sacrifices, your tithes, heave offerings, etc., etc. So we don't worship God the way we want him to be worshipped. We worship God the way he wants us to be worshipped. There's an excellent example of this in the book of Exodus. Let's go to Exodus chapter 32. In Exodus chapter 32, the children of Israel come out of Egypt. We're in Exodus 32. We're going to begin to read it in the beginning of the chapter, Exodus 32, verse 1. Now, in chapter 31, and in chapter 30, and in chapter 29, we have Moses up in the mountain receiving the instructions on how to build the tabernacle, how to build the altar, the candelabra, all of these various implements and various things that were going to be needed to worship God correctly. And in verse 1 of chapter 32, mine has a heading on it, the golden calf. Did God, through Moses, send plagues on Egypt that included the destruction of all of their cattle? Yes. Why? Because the Egyptians worshipped the cow. They worshipped the calf. Mithra sun worship was centered on a bull and the cattle. Interesting. If you go to some of the websites and look at the European Union, you see a woman riding a bull, Europa. And there's a whole mythology about the bull and Europa and what happened to that deity. Very interesting. They worship the cow, the cattle. People don't worship cattle. Go to Egypt. And there are cows all over the place that are left to do whatever they want. Now, I'm going to be I'm not trying to be sarcastic or mean or anything. They literally believe that people who lived before are now inhabiting the cow. They've been reincarnated as cattle or as worms or as snails or as bees and all of that. So they don't harm the cattle because they worship them as their ancestors. So you think that this doesn't happen back then. It happens today in the modern century we're living in. Notice what it says. Now, when the people saw that Moses delayed coming down from the mountain, where is this Moses at? Has he fallen into a ravine? Has he had a heart attack? Did he have a stroke? Did a wild animal get him? Maybe he died of thirst. He got lost. Where is he? The people gathered together to Aaron and said to him, come, make us gods that shall go before us. For as for this Moses, who knows what's happened to him? We don't know where he's at. We don't know if he's coming back. And Aaron said to them, break off the golden earrings which are on the ears of your wives, your sons, your daughters, and bring them to me. They were going to throw these golden earrings into a pot, smelt them, and make a melted or a molted calf. When you were a slave in Israel, you know, you sold yourself into slavery. I can't support myself. I have bad habits. I have bad business practices. My family's starving. Will you take me in? I'll be your personal servant. You supply my family with food, with water, shelter, and all that, and I'll work for you. And people sold themselves into slavery. Oh, people don't do that, really? Well, people sell themselves into slavery with credit cards today. I mean, what's the difference? You owe somebody money, you work for them. So they sold themselves into slavery, and sometimes the master was very good, and the slave wanted to continue to be a slave. You know what? I like this setup here. I get 3 square meals a day. My wife and kids are taken care of. We have a place to live. Everything's taken care of. I don't want to be a non-slave. I'd like to be your slave forever. You know what they would do? They would go to the gate of the city. Remember Proverbs 31? My husband sits at the gate of the city. That was the That was a county office, so to speak, where legal things were done. And if you wanted to be a slave, what they would do is they would put your ear against the wall of the city gate, and with an awl, it would put a hole in your ear and put a golden earring on it. So the golden earring symbolized slavery. People nowadays want to be cool and put on golden earrings. The history of golden earrings is that it indicates that you were a slave. So what's happening here? It's interesting. They were taking the implements or the jewelry that indicated they were slaves, and they were casting it into the pot, and they were going to make something that was going to enslave them. The Bible is very interesting when you look at it. Notice what it says in verse 2. And Aaron said to them, break off the golden earrings, which indicate that you're slaves, which are in the ears of your wives, your sons, your daughters, and bring them to me. So the people broke off the golden earrings, which were in the ears, and brought them to Aaron. And he received the gold from their hands, and he fashioned it with an engraving image, and made a molten. Molten means melted. You know, they smelted it. They liquefied the gold, and they cast it, and made a calf. Then he said, this is your God, O Israel, that brought you up out of the land of Egypt. This next verse is very interesting. So when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it, and the Aaron made a proclamation and said, tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. That word Lord is the same word used for the real God. But what Aaron was saying is, look, there's a real God up there. We've gotten the commandments from him. Moses is leading us under his hand, but we're going to make this molten image that represents him. Their hearts were right. They were worshiping the right God. They were doing everything that most people say today is good to do. The only problem is they were breaking one of the commandments, idolatry. Don't do that. Don't worship me with idols. And we can look at the same thing now. Many people tell you, well, you know, the 25th is not his birthday. We understand that this is not really in line with the Bible. But, and we understand that it's based on worshiping pagan gods. And we understand that, you know, the great universal church in the 3rd century confiscated this Saturnalia and gave it a religious sounding terminology. But that doesn't matter because we're doing it to God. Well, what happened to these people that made this golden image? You can read about them in a few more verses. And a lot of suffering happened. God was not pleased with them at all. Let me give you one more example. You know, we don't worship God the way we want to worship him, brethren. We worship God the way he tells us to worship him. Now let's go to Judges chapter 17. Judges chapter 17. And we're going to kind of skim the chapter, but we're going to begin to read in Judges 17 and in verse 1. Now, Judges is a very interesting book. When you go to the very last verse in Judges, it tells you, everybody did whatever was right in their own eyes because there was no king of the country then. There was no king, so everybody did whatever they wanted, which is exemplified in the account I'm going to give you here in Judges chapter 17. Micah. To make a long story short, Micah and his mother had a disagreement about some money. The mother gives the money back to Micah, or it comes back to Micah's possession. And notice what it says. In verse 3, so when he had returned the 1,100 shekels of silver to his mother said, I had wholly dedicated the silver from my hand to the Lord. So this money's been dedicated to the Lord, same word Lord that's used everywhere else, to make a carved image and a melted or molded image. Now therefore I'll return to you. The mother said, this money is dedicated to God, and I'm going to make an idol to it, to the true God. See the problems there? Then he took the silver and he made an image in verse 4, and the image was in the house of Micah. The man Micah had a shrine, and he made an ephod and a household idols, and he consecrated one of his sons who became his priest. In those days there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. And so what we have here is we have a story of Micah taking money that his mother had, melting it down and making an idol that was dedicated to the Lord. And notice verse, I'm not going to get into the rest of it, don't have time. But along comes the tribe of Dan and says to the Levite that was working for Micah, hired priest for hire. And he said, why do you want to continue work for Micah for, you know, pennies on the dollar, when we will, we're a whole tribe, and you can bring that idol with you, and we will establish a religion based on your Levitical ancestry and on that idol. And that's what he did. And you can read later about the history of Dan, and they went into abject idolatry based on what was going on here. You read the book of Revelation, it's got the 144,000. 12,000 from each tribe. The book of Dan is not mentioned because they were idolaters. Here's my point. This idol was made to represent God. They said, oh, we're doing this to the true God. We're doing this to the true God. God does not want worship like that. We should avoid, brethren, the traditions of the world. Christmas has come to us from paganism. The pagans this paganism was centered and came out of the Babylon mystery religion, which began with the time of, the time of Genesis, but which was exemplified by King Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel chapter 2 as a head of gold. What God said to the Apostle John in the book of Revelation is very applicable to us today. I'm going to conclude with the following verse in Revelation. Let's go to Revelation chapter 18. Revelation chapter 18. And in Revelation chapter 18, we're going to begin to read in the first verse. But in Revelation chapter 18, it says, mine has a title on it, The Fall of Babylon the Great. The great golden head, the image, all of that that's going to be hit by the rock, the return Christ, is getting ready to crumble because Christ is going to return, as it talks about at the end of the book of, at the end of the chapter 18. Christ is returning, and Babylon's going to be destroyed. Notice, after these things in verse 1, I saw another angel coming down from heaven, having great authority, and his earth was illuminated with his glory. And he cried mightily with a loud voice. This is at the time of the end when Christ returns. Babylon still exists. And he cried mightily with a loud voice, saying, Babylon the great has fallen, and has become the dwelling place of demons, a prison for every foul spirit, and a cage for every unclean and hated bird. Did you get that little trivia there? At the time of Christ, there's still unclean birds. Not been done away with. Verse 3. For all the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of the fornication. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth have become rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And here's what I want to leave you with. In a few days, there's going to be Christmas celebrations. There's going to be Christmas events. There's going to be this and that. And we live in a society that pulls on us. What should you do? Verse 4, and I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people,